T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
And presented by Chafin Lujan Injury Law Firm, doing good by doing right. It is Pony and Muller. And it is time to talk to our guy, NFL insider, Hall of Famer, Braddock's own, the great John Clayton. John, what do you make of Villanueva's 2-year, $14 million deal with the Ravens? He's going to have to change positions, right?
Yeah, he's going to go to right tackle because they traded Orlando Brown. I thought, you know, he came out about as good as you can this late in free agency. And, of course, I guess what you can see, the delay was basically the idea that the Ravens didn't want to lose a compensatory pick by signing him, and they would have lost a compensatory pick. But, you know, this late, to have anybody get more than $4 or $5 million is rare. But, of course, there was such a need for Baltimore because they didn't pick up a right tackle in the draft. They certainly needed to get somebody to replace Orlando Brown, and they got him cheaper than what it eventually was going to cost Orlando Brown. And, of course, Orlando didn't want to play right tackle anymore. He wanted to go to left tackle, so he goes to Kansas City and Villanueva. By the way, did you see the one comment that he made?
Oh, yes, we did.
He says, oh, yeah, yeah. It's like he took a shot. It's like, okay. It's
better. Why would
to
he
go
do that?
Team.
Why would he do that, John?
I don't know. That's ridiculous. Because
I thought it was very odd coming from him, because he was a guy who did a few things here that you could argue, you know, people can talk about what those things were relative to dancing on TikTok, but he absolutely called attention to himself at the expense of his teammates on at least one occasion as a Steeler.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, the line that he said is like, hey, it's better to go to a run-first team than the other. And it's like, well, I mean, you know, last year, I mean, he he was on the worst running team in football. But also, how would you gauge his run blocking? Because his run blocking wasn't that great.
Are you asking us? Because I can give you an honest assessment. It was terrible. He was not a good run blocker.
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, that's the thing.
So what are the Baltimore Ravens even getting here, John? Like, I think this is, for the Steelers, I think this is a good thing, because I don't think Villanueva is going to be able to block T.J. Watt twice a year.
Yeah, maybe not, because again, it's like, if he was so bad against the run, and the plan is to run the ball as much as they do, that's not going to be good for the Ravens' offense.
No, I don't think so either. How about the way it leaves the Steelers' offensive line coming out of the draft? They waited until the third and fourth rounds to pick up offensive linemen. What do you make of the way the Steelers revamped their offensive line this offseason, John?
I'm a little worried. I would have to think it's going to be troubling because, again, there's no major investment right now in the offensive line, particularly a line that's lost as much as they can. I mean, you know, they lose Matt Fielder at guard. Marquise Pouncey retires. Villanueva's gone right now. So that's a lot of turnover. I mean, I think that looks like they tried to get bigger on the offensive line, which is kind of interesting. But, yeah, I think that, you know, because I think any time you look at a team that has to make 3 or 4 changes on the offensive line, it can be troubling. And sometimes you have to make that high commitment to a high draft choice, particularly in a year like this. Now, the thing that benefits the Steelers is that this was one of the deepest offensive line drafts we've ever seen. And so that does help. But also, it's like, you know, was it deep enough in the third and fourth round to be able to get guys that can come in and possibly start?
I think only, we went over this, Andrew had the stat yesterday, John, only 3 offensive linemen who were drafted, I want to say in the third round or later, the mid rounds last year, started all 16 games for their respective NFL teams. Damian Lewis for the Seahawks was one of them, and he was, I believe, the only guy who really had a good performance, at least according to, like, for example, a Pro Football Focus grade. So it just seems like they didn't really get much in the way, more than likely, of immediate help by doing it the way they did it.
No, and that's why I think that they still have to look around to see what's available in which is now street free agency, because unrestricted free agency is over. So I still think that they need to see it. And the one thing that you'll see, and you're starting to see it just about every day now, mm-hmm. there's going to be guys cut.
Yeah.
And because guys are going to get cut, some of them are going to be making decent money, but they're going to have to go and sign for cheap. And so they have to be on it. Like, for example, you saw how quickly everybody was jumping on Charles Leno, the left tackle of the Chicago Bears, because there's a fist fight going on right now because Denver wants him. I mean, he was a consideration for the Baltimore Ravens. And so, you figure that they'll need to do something. And so I think Leno's probably going to end up going to the Denver Broncos.
Were you a Leno or Letterman guy?
I was more Leno, but I like Letterman a lot.
Okay. Gotcha. Just wanted to get that out there.
I thought that there might have been a mystery right tackle out there named Bob Letterman or something, and that's why you were asking.
No.
What now? You had this insight. I think on draft night, you thought that there was a really good chance somebody snatched up Najee Harris before he got to the Steelers at 24.
Yeah, and that's where the Steelers got lucky, because a lot of mock drafts had Miami taking him at 18. And, that being the case, they ended up going for an edge rusher. And so that took them out of the running back market. And they really didn't do hardly anything to fix the running back position. So they have more work to do there. But they went edge rusher. And then, the break for the Steelers was the fact that the Jets traded up, because they could have taken him at 23. But they move up and they get Barrett Tucker, the offensive lineman. And so that left everything open for Najee to fall right down to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
John, what do you think is a realistic expectation of what Harris should be able to do in his first season for the Steelers?
I mean, it depends. Depends on the offensive line, and it depends on the commitment to try to run the ball. I mean, you would think at the very least, if he plays 15, 16 games, it's going to probably be about 800 or 900 yards. It's not out of the question that he could get over 1,000 if there's a commitment to run the ball. And I think there is going to be more of a commitment to run the ball. But, again, just don't know about the offensive line. I mean, how about the fact that the Jacksonville Jaguars, they got lucky last year, even though they were the worst team in football at 1-15. Mm-hmm. But, they get James Robinson, who gained, over 1,400 yards as a rookie.
Yep.
And what does Urban Meyer do? He takes a running back in the first round. Go figure.
He's also working out Tim Tebow at tight end. So who knows?
Yeah.
What's going on there? I brought this up earlier in the week, and you're the perfect person to talk to about this. I said, now that we are out of the compensatory pick window and the Steelers have a little bit of money left and they're competing for a Super Bowl now and they lost Mike Hilton and they cut Steven Nelson, why not pick up the phone and ask Richard Sherman if he'd come here for the veteran minimum, John? What's he going to do? Is he just done with football? Is he going to retire and do what we do, talk for a living?
Pretty much, yeah. I can't. I mean, again, he's still angling to try to get a job, but he's not going to do it for the minimum. I mean, here's a guy that was making at the most $14 million a year, and he's not going to lower himself in his eyes to take minimum salary. So I just don't see that happening. And plus, I mean, he fits more in a cover one, cover three type defense at cornerback, and that's not necessarily what Mike Tomlin does.
Mm. Okay.
John, I want to go back to the offensive linemen for a minute. The street free agents, guys will be out there. Is there anybody that you think is going to come available because they get cut that just has already entered your mind as maybe a good fit for the Steelers, even as a depth guy, like somebody that they could be connected to from that crop of maybe soon-to-be-available players?
Yeah, I haven't really studied it enough to be able to do that. So it's like, I was so busy trying to put all the draft stuff together and start to work on the undrafted free agencies and all that fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that one I haven't been able to work on. But again, I mean, you'll see. And again, it's like what you have to do is you have to look at like the seven teams that are out there that are right now don't have enough money and cap to be able to sign their draft choices. So, like a team like Atlanta, maybe a Caleb McGarry could get cut there because they're disappointed with him, a former first-round pick. And, he's obviously going to be very low because, he's a former first-round pick. They probably want to trade him for a low pick if they do it, because they did take a couple offensive linemen. Green Bay's doing it, but they're real thin on the offensive line. You know, New Orleans, they're not going to do anything. So, but you know, there'll be some guys that'll pop free because, again, we just watched it the other day with Charles Leno.
Well, you brought up Green Bay, so I got to ask about Aaron Rodgers, because in one breath for the Steelers fans, you might look at their schedule, which has been rated the hardest for 2021, and think, oh, good, if Rodgers is out of Green Bay, it makes a game at Lambeau Field much easier. But then again, when you look at the teams Rodgers wants to play for, Denver, the Raiders, those are teams, A, on the Steelers schedule, and B, in your conference, John. So what's going to happen with Aaron Rodgers?
He's not going to show up. I can almost guarantee that. And let's go back in history. You go back to 2010. Carson Palmer was so frustrated with the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, just losing every year, 4-12 season in 2010. He'd only been to two playoffs in 7 years after being the first pick in his draft. So then what he does, he says, I'm never stepping foot in Paul Brown Stadium again. And I've got $80 million in the bank, and I don't have to. And so his agent is Dave Dunn. Well, guess what? Aaron Rodgers' agent is Dave Dunn. So you can follow through and say, hey, I'm threatening not to be there, and you have a pretty good chance he's not going to be there. So now what happens is that, and again, one thing that's there now, he's going to lose $500,000 in a workout bonus, but they already paid him $6.8 million in a roster bonus at the beginning of March. So he has enough money in the bank that he can just go into the season and then wait to see if he can get traded to more likely Denver. I can't see the Raiders doing it because they don't have the cap room to be able to take on that salary. Denver does, and so I'd have to think that because again, he wanted to go to San Francisco too, and that wasn't going to work out. But anything that's going to happen is going to be either in late summer or it's going to be in the fall.
So, John, to clarify, are you saying right now, do you think Aaron Rodgers has already played his last snap as a Green Bay Packer?
Yes, I may disagree with Terry Bradshaw on this, but which Terry came out with some comments that I shake my head at, because it's like as many comments as
that's
he made.
Lot more mild than what Pat McAfee said about Bradshaw. Listen to this, John.
Terry Bradshaw, okay, can right off. When he opened his mouth here about Aaron Rodgers, I've never seen somebody look like a bigger hypocrite or idiot.
Yeah, that's Pat McAfee on Bradshaw, John.
Wow. Apparently not a big fan of the comments, but I didn't like the comments at all because, again, it's like, you have the situation where they disrespected him in the sense that, you know, in fact, here's the stat that's just incredible, and it predates the current administration. Mm-hmm. But in the last 10 drafts, the first player they've taken, because a couple times they trade back in the first round,
yeah,
was a defensive player. The only offensive player they've drafted for Aaron Rodgers in the last 10 years was Jordan Love, who was brought in to try to replace him.
I've seen that stat. But you know what, John? They've done such a good job after the first round with Aaron Jones,
yeah,
and Davante Adams, and even on the line with Lindsley and Bakhtiari. Like, I don't know. If they had nobody on offense, I would say, yeah, it's been disrespectful, but they found diamonds in the rough for him, haven't they?
Not a wide receiver. I mean,
well, Adams is, I think, second-round pick.
Yeah, but he was there before.
Okay.
Right? I mean, he was drafted before this current administration. And then even further this year, here they have the draft, and they wait till the third round to take a wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, please.
John, I'm wondering what you think about this, since the draft obviously now just in the rearview mirror. Ravens, in the Steelers' own division, we know the Steelers have a very good reputation for draft and develop. That's how they've tried to build,
yeah,
this franchise really since the 70s. We know the Ravens have long been very good at the same thing. We know the Bengals have been good enough at it to occasionally build some teams that had the talent to go deep in the playoffs, even if they would constantly shoot themselves in the foot once they got there. And we've always taken it as an article of faith that the Browns can be relied upon to screw things up. And yet, this feels like ominous if I'm a Steelers fan here. The Browns seemingly are getting universal praise for what they did in this draft. Are you as bullish on what Andrew Berry did this year as everybody else seems to be?
I'm not as necessarily bullish on the draft, but I'm bullish on his off season. I think he had a great off season. You know, because look at the players he was able to add. He gets Jadeveon Clowney on,
yep,
the other side of Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
He gets John Johnson at safety. He gets Troy Hill at cornerback. And, you know, they were able to do that. Now, the only thing I think that hurt is that they ended up having to cut Sheldon Richardson, because, again, he's a real good defensive tackle. They had to cut him. And they're now trying to patch with, like, Malik McDowell and things of that nature. But no, I think that if you look at them on paper, and they look really, really good. But then remember last year how everybody overdid it with the Browns? I mean, they were talking Super Bowl back right after the drafts. Oh, we're going to the Super Bowl and all that stuff. It's like nobody buys it. But this is a good football team and a dangerous football team.
John, after the Harris pick, is there one that you look at with the Steelers and from the people around the league you've talked to, they're saying, you know what, this is a guy that they got a steal on. He's a really good player.
The tight end, I mean, Freiermuth. It's like that was taken a little high because, again, it wasn't a great tight end draft. But, again, they got that. So I guess that's encouraging because they took care of a tight end position. Now they got he and Ebron out there. But, you know, maybe Kendrick Green, that could be one consideration because, again, you know, the center situation wasn't necessarily all that good in the draft, but still I think they may come up with something. I don't know much about Dan Moore, the offensive lineman. I think the fact that, you know, they drafted offensive linemen, the two of them, that does help. But, you know, I think it's one of those typical Steeler drafts. It's solid, you know, maybe not spectacular, but, you know, one that you've got players to build on.
John Clayton, our NFL insider here at The Fan. John, you're the best. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Still doesn't have a cell phone problem fixed, Chris. Still on the landline.
Did he tweet it? I didn't see it.
That's what Kale told us before bringing him on.
Wow.
That we tried to get some iPhone nerds to help him out.
It feels like at some point that becomes a John stubbornness problem. Like, he's got to have a free upgrade by now.
If Aaron Rodgers is on the Broncos, where do you rank them among AFC contenders? Are they ahead of the Steelers?
Top four.
Is that ahead of the Steelers?
Yes. It would be Chiefs, Bills. Well, you're going to hate me. Browns. I would say top five, top like six then, because I put Browns and Ravens there together, 1 and 1A. Because I think they're both going to be good. And then I think the Broncos immediately become very good, man. Look at that roster. Look at what they have. Look at the skill talent they have to throw to for him.
I think they'd win the division. I'd pick them out of
Kansas City. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, man. They got some players on. But they have. Somebody said they have like one of the five most talented rosters in football with somebody's evaluation. No quarterback.
That was
would you put them top? It sounds like you'd put them top three AFC contenders.
I would, yeah. I think the Chiefs are going to take a step back because I don't like what they've done with their defense. They've revamped their offensive line, but they still don't have guys who can cover. I think that's a major problem for them.
If they revamp the offensive line, though, what are you going to do? Play first to 40 with Mahomes?
Yeah, I think eventually, though, when your defense can't get stops, it catches up to you. So I would say right now, this is just me, I think the teams I like most in the AFC are, if Rodgers goes to Denver, it'll be Denver, Miami, and Cleveland will be my top three.
Are you only putting Kansas City outside that top three because they'd be in Denver's division, or because
I don't like the Bills and Chiefs defenses.
Well, be that as it may, that's fine. That's fair. You are putting a hell of a lot of faith in Tua Tagovailoa.
Yeah, I think last year was a redshirt year for him, and he still went 6-3 and had 11 touchdowns and 5 picks.
I didn't see. You know what I saw? I saw way too much like game manager looking.
I know,
stuff
but look at the
him.
Defense they had, and look at the skill position players they had. They had neither of those. They had Mike Gesicki, and that was it.
Devontae Parker's
he's
not
okay.
Horrible.
He's okay. Text us on the Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Okay, coming up next, you're going to hear Al Villanueva, and you can tell us what you think. His comments on leaving the Steelers for the Ravens and the passive-aggressive shots he's taking at Juju Smith-Schuster and others. It's the PM Team on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game 10, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.